All right, how are we doing? You good in there? All right, I have water, I have coffee, I have the book. Remember the book. Brain cells. I need brain cells. Did you bring brain cells? No?
Shit.
Neither of us brought brain cells this morning. Hi, good morning, children. It's actually not that early, but it's another one of those days. Roll out of bed early in the morning and instantly start finding trouble, problems to deal with. And then I love it. You're dealing with the problem suddenly. It's like, oh, this is the solution. Jesus, this should have been so obvious. Duh. Oh, well. Life goes on. And meanwhile, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Pretty soon I'll have to say you can shove your opinion up your ass so that Hillary's cock has something to keep it company. And how do we know she doesn't have a cock? I mean, we haven't seen Obama's birth certificate. We haven't seen Obama, Hillary, same difference. Actually, not really. Hillary will be worse, if anything, I do believe. Just my theory. We'll find out. We're going to have 8 years of Hillary Clinton, and right now you have Stating the Obvious podcast, the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect. The cruise missile that comes in on and destroys stupid motherfucking statist all around the fucking world. Doesn't matter what kind of statist you are, what color statist, what religion statist, what country you statist in, wherever your statist in at, the nuclear-tipped, stupidity-seeking, statist-destroying cruise missile will fucking find you and blow you the fuck up. Randy, the clouds are not going away. It looks cloudy outside. Every time I get a fucking day off, it gets cloudy outside. What the hell? I just wanted a nice sunny day. I wanted to go trail running today, and so far it looks cloudy and overcast, and the forecast says it's gonna fucking rain, which in a way is okay. I like rain, but damn it, I really wanted to go running today because this is my one fucking entire 24 hours straight without having to fucking work somewhere. Of course, I'll still be working my ass off here at the studio. And then I'll go home and do more work there, because that's the story of my life. And I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I am adjusting the filter on the microphone right now, trying not to make too much noise. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. You can reach us at God, that's dog spelled backwards, God at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And of course, CYNLIBSOC on the Twitterverse until Anita Sarkeesian bans me. And we're on the internet and all that other good stuff. The YouTubes, over on the YouTubes, last time I checked, my Stating the Obvious videos have been banned again because of the music by David Gilmour, the corporation that owns his music, because he doesn't own his own music, thanks to statism and corporations. And he's, of course, a left-wing socialist statist. But who gives a fuck? The corporation that owns his music has restricted access to my Stating the Obvious videos. That's why you should be subscribing to the podcast via RSS like a non-stupid person. And by the way, if you are subscribed via RSS, I've put this out in the show notes a couple of times, but I'll say it on the podcast. If you are subscribed, make sure you are subscribed to the main feed. So I set things up. I set up like, not like, that's I set up multiple feeds. So there is a feed only for Stating the Obvious podcast, a feed only for Anarchy Moment, a feed only for Cult of Personality, and then there is a feed for all the podcasts, and there is a feed for all the podcast and the post. At the time, for some reason, I thought this was a good idea, as we often do in life, right? Things happen. And we make a decision at the time. We think, well, this is a pretty good idea. And then some time goes by and we look back on our choices and we go, the fuck was I thinking? Or at least those of us who possess some level of self-awareness. Now, of course, this is one of the prime differences between the anarcho-capitalist and the statist, the femistatist, the homostatist, is You know, for example, an anarcho-capitalist looks back and says, oh man, an anarcho-capitalist woman, I should say, will look back and say, oh man, I let this guy get me pregnant. I had a kid. The fuck was I thinking? This was a mistake in some ways. Whereas, of course, a femistatist will look back on the same event and say, oh my God, that man raped me. There's no way I had anything to do with having this child. I need more welfare money. Self-awareness. Oh God, it's just, you know, if we just had as a society, if we just had more of two things, natural selection and self-awareness, that right there would solve 93% of the quote-unquote problems in our society, would go away in about a 2-month period. Natural selection, self-awareness. It's all we need. It's not that simple. No, it actually is that simple. It actually is that fucking simple. But people would die, man. Yeah. Yes, they would. It would be all the right people. See, this is the problem. See, this is why statism doesn't work. Because statism is the idea that says nothing to do with the book that we're going to be talking about today, Data and Goliath, The Hidden Battles to Collect Your Data and Control Your World by Bruce Schneier. I'm still not sure if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly. S-C-H-N-E-I-E-R. This is, I think it's part 5 in the series, so if you're just showing up, you know, whatever, you can just listen to this one. You can go back and start at part 1. This is why statism doesn't work. Statism is the idea that there are some people who are better than other people, and those people are the people who are in the government. And the people in the government can make the determinations about which people should be killed off and which people should survive. Right, so Stalin decided that, say, farmers in the Ukraine should be starved to death and they should die. And Stalin decided anyone who opposed him should go to, mental hospitals and be called mentally ill. And they should die, right? And in China, there are people and they decided who should die. And though in Cambodia, they decided, you know, there are some people in the government, they decided. And Hitler decided, well, Jews should die. And, brain. You know, here in the United States, we're deciding, the royal we, via the government, via the Messiah, are deciding, well, but, you know, poor people who live in ghettos should do the most reproducing. Let's give them welfare. So you have governments that make decisions about who should die and who should reproduce. And we see how well this is working. In natural selection, there are still decisions made about who should die and who should reproduce, but the decisions aren't made by a small group of people for a larger population. The decisions about who should live and die are made by each person for themselves, right? So if you can't feed yourself and you decide to have a baby, well, now you can't feed yourself and the baby, so you starve to death and die. If you decide that you want to play chicken with a lion, then you die. But if you're smart enough to stay away from the lion, or if you're fast enough to outrun the lion, which of course you're not, unless this is a really tired lion, but if you're smart enough to stay away from the lion doesn't kill you, right? So natural selection is just like the state. Both the state and natural selection result in people living and reproducing, and both of them result in people dying. The idea, which the statist always present, that when natural selection decides who should live and die, that this is terrible, and of course it's racist and sexist and homophobic and all this other stuff, which is always fascinating when statists tell you that natural selection is racist, because what they're saying is that they believe black people are inferior to white people because somehow or another, if left to their own devices, black people would be incapable of surviving. Yet when the state, when the government decides who should live and die, this is considered enlightened. Absolutely fascinating. To look at the brain of a statist, and you need a powerful microscope to do that. Did I mention I am the Great One himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, been podcasting for 11 years, it'll be 12 years in November. And I'm gonna make love to your woman, I'm gonna lay you down by the fire, gonna wrap your heavenly body, I'll make you moan and perspire. I'm making love, 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 love. What's wrong, children? A statist everywhere. Statist, yeah. Alright, statism. Let's get back to the book. Data and Goliath, or Data and Goliath. You know, whatever. The Hidden Battles, to Collect Your Data and Control Your World, by Bruce Schneier. We're on page 171. We've moved into solutions, and as I said in the previous podcast, it's a good book. Well-researched, well-written, you should be reading it. The one major flaw that it has is the flaw that most books like this have. They are written by statist. And when he gets around to his solutions for all of this, his solutions all, of course, revolve around, well, the state, right? In Christians, their solutions all revolve around God. Statist, well, their solutions all revolve around the state. Right? You can't. They can't say, and yes, yes, you are absolutely right, because you're sitting there going, well, great one. All your solutions revolve around natural selection. Yes. Yes, they do. Yes, they fucking do. Isn't it amazing? Natural selection got the human species, you know, from whenever the first human appeared, all the way through however many, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of years that humans were evolving before the state came into an existence. Isn't it amazing that the human species somehow managed to survive all of that time with no state, only natural selection? So you say to me, great one, you are great, and you are drinking coffee, because it is 8 o'clock in the morning, and the podcast has to go out today. And Randy's cranky because she had to get up early and come to the studio, but you don't care because she's a girl. Girls are yucky. They have cooties. And you say, you say, great one, are you just stalling for time while you're trying to think of what you were going to say because you forgot? And I said, no! Oh, no, that would never happen. No! When has my train of thought ever derailed? That has never fucking happened on this podcast. You're insane. So you say to me, great one, you're telling us that all of Bruce's solutions involve the state, and, you know, isn't this realistic because we live in a statist society and yada, yada, yada. It's like, yeah, okay. But here, what are the ultimate solutions? What are the anarcho-capitalist solutions? Great one. You're talking about how the government and the corporations are spying on your cyber data and storing all this data on you. So, if you're so fucking brilliant, what are your fucking solutions there, Mr. Great One, if you're so fucking awesome and smart? Okay. They're legitimate questions. If you're asking these questions, good for you. It means you're not a fucking mindless idiot. How would the Great One solve this? The solution is painful. And I don't think at this point it can be solved because of the pain. So let me draw a parallel for you. We, the royal we, the collective we, have had, will have, it's all this debate over the fucking healthcare, right? Everybody got a right to healthcare, and I got a right, and there's no such thing as rights, but that's another topic. Everybody thinks they have a right to healthcare, and healthcare is too expensive, and so we got a Obamacare is going to make healthcare affordable, which of course it hasn't. It just forced you to buy health insurance from multi-billion dollar corporations because, you know, Democrats are against the corporations. That's why they're forcing you to buy products from corporations with a law, which is only going to lead to trouble now that we've established the government can force you to buy things from corporations. Oh my god, you people are so fucking stupid to realize what you have done. The government can now force you to buy things from corporations. Do you really think this is not going to come back to bite you in the ass? And you don't, because you have no intelligence, you have no self-awareness, and you've been exempted from natural selection, and that's how you have become this stupid. The solution to the healthcare crisis, as I have explained multiple times in the past, so I will try to keep this short, is simple, it's easy, and it's painful, which is why it will not happen. The solution to the fact that healthcare is expensive is to eliminate health insurance. Now you say to me, but Great One, if you eliminate health insurance, nobody could afford health care. Oh. Well, of course, actually, the first thing you would say if you're a state, that's if you're an anarcho-capitalist. Now, if you're a statist, the first thing you're going to say is, Great One, that's racist, because if you eliminate health insurance, only rich people will be able to afford health care. And as we all know, all white people are rich, even like the trailer park trash. And when I'm in Old Town Fort Collins walking over the vomit splatters and looking at the homeless people sitting there on the street, all those white homeless people, they're actually rich. They're rich and they're racist and they're probably members of the Ku Klux Klan like Donald Trump. Only black people are poor. All black people are poor. Only white people are rich. All white people are rich. And that is the left-wing statist view of the world. But of course, remember, it's always wrong to categorize people according to skin color. So you would say to me, but Great One, without health insurance, all these people are going to die. There's going to be no healthcare. And I would say unto you, no, they won't, because here's the thing. You get rid of health insurance. Now, suddenly, you have all these businesses out there, corporations, businesses, entities, nonprofits, whatever the fuck they may be. Hospitals is what they're called. They have all these employees. They have all this equipment, and suddenly nobody can afford their services anymore. What will have to happen in a market environment, a free market environment, a non-regulated environment, an environment where there is no health insurance? And yes, I'm simplifying everything in a futile attempt to be brief. We all know that briefness doesn't happen here. They will face two choices. The hospital can go out of business and everybody there can lose their jobs, including the rich white CEO of the hospital. Or they can figure out a way to deliver healthcare at a cost that people can afford. And I promise you, when medical care instantly becomes something nobody can afford, people who provide medical care will very quickly figure out how in the fuck to lower the prices. Having worked at hospitals, unlike most of you, having worked in the medical field, having worked at hospitals, having family who has worked at hospitals, knowing people who work in hospitals, yada, yada, so forth, so on. There it is again. Every time. Technical stuff, nothing to do with you guys. I can tell you for a fact, every hospital out there can make some budget cuts. There are plenty of people they don't need. There's plenty of waste. All right, so now, would it be painful? Oh yeah, it would be very painful. Might some people die? Yeah, some people might die. But after an initial rough transition, where nobody can afford healthcare because it's too fucking expensive, the hospitals, the clinics, the doctors, they would all have to find ways to make their services affordable, or they would go out of business. And they're not going to do that because then they'd have to go find a job. And I don't know, let's say you're a neurosurgeon. I mean, what are you going to do? You've been a neurosurgeon for 15 years. Your hospital's going to shut. What are you going to do? Are you going to be a plumber, electrician? What are you going to do? No, trust me, they will find a way. That's called natural selection. They will find a way to make healthcare affordable. But it will be painful, and that's why it's not going to happen. A great one. What the fuck does this have to do with Facebook and the NSA? All right, I'm getting there. I'm illustrating for you painful, and of course tangenting, because that's what I do best. You say, great one, are you going to get around to talking about the fucking book today, or are you just going to ramble for the first 40 minutes like you did in the previous podcast? All right, if you stop interrupting me, I'll get to the point and we'll move on. All right, fine, great one. Explain to us your fucking solution. Here's the solution to all of this, but it's very painful. The solution to Facebook gathering your data, selling your data, is to stop using Facebook. It's really that simple. However, that's very painful because people have become dependent upon Facebook for communication, and some people have not just become dependent on Facebook for communication, but because they are attention whores, because they don't have real friends, because they don't know how to interact with other people, they have actually become dependent upon Facebook, you know, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever, for having a life, or some semblance of a life. And the solution to most of this is to simply wean yourself from the digital world. And the painful part is, to what extent is that possible? It would be pretty difficult to exist without ever sending an email. But it's not that difficult to limit your emails, your text messages, all this other stuff. It's not at all difficult to not be on Facebook. It's not at all difficult to not be on Twitter and Pinterest and Snapchat and whatever the fuck they may be. It's not that difficult to not store all your personal information on the cloud. It's not that difficult to not put your credit card number into every website where you buy things. You know, when websites say, hey, you're making a purchase, do you want to store this credit card number? No, I don't. It's not that difficult to not own a smartphone. It's not that difficult to turn your phone off. It's not that difficult to get a prepaid phone. I've said a million times, I have my little prepaid flip phone. You just have to be willing to endure the pain of letting go of much of this digital connection. You know, logging into Google for your Google searches and stuff so Google can track your history. Now, I mean, you use a browser that deletes your data, that deletes your cookies. There are things you can do to reduce all of this. and ultimately changing your habits as much as you can so that you can't be tracked or that you can be tracked as little as possible is ultimately a better solution than just expecting politicians to write shit on a piece of paper and for those squiggles on a piece of paper to stop the NSA from spying on you. Because the NSA is not going to stop spying on you. The corporations will not stop spying on you. They have entire legal divisions, which are, of course, devoted to figuring out how to get around laws and all this other stuff. But that would be painful, not being able to go on Facebook and attention whore is going to be painful for a large number of you. And so you're not going to be able to do that. And of course, once the state collapses, if the state collapses, when the state collapses, the NSA and the corporations will go away. Well, the corporations won't necessarily go away, but they will cease to be protected entities, which are too big to fail and get bailouts and all this other stuff. And so then, you know, once the corporations actually have to, once they move from being corporations to simply being very large businesses that have to fend for themselves, natural selection will kick in, and some of them will start to fail. So that's my solution, is just stop putting... Now, of course, you can't... There are parts of this surveillance you can't do anything about. You do kind of need a cell phone these days. You got to occasionally be able to talk to people. And it's nice to be able to call someone for help when your car breaks down in the middle of nowhere. You know, just have the awareness that everything you say and do on the internet is being monitored. Right? Every time I put out one of these podcasts, I know good and goddamn well that the government of the United States is monitoring this. I know that I am on the enemy's list. Yeah, you just, and you keep that in mind all the time. Data and Goliath, Hidden Battles to Collect Your Data and Control Your World by Bruce Schneier. Let's get to the book so that this doesn't turn into a 13-parter. We're on page 171. This is the chapter Solutions for Government. We're talking about solutions for government. Oh my God. Page 171, final paragraph. What does this say? The U.S. government should publish detailed, unclassified descriptions of the scope and scale of intelligence gathering. It should publish legal justifications for all intelligence programs. See, this is the delusion that I'm talking about. Yeah, the government is actually going to pass laws and then obey those laws that says they're going to do these things. The NSA is really going to do this. This is delusion. It should publish information on the type and amount of data collected under those different authorities, as well as details of minimization procedures and data retention rules. And it should declassify all general opinions of the FISA court, which oversees NSA surveillance under FISA and the FISA Amendments Act. The names of the people and organizations being monitored are legitimately secret, but the rules under which organizations operate are not. Yes, because the government will make those laws, and then the government will obey them. This is pure delusion. See, and this is the thing. You, listening to this, you have no control over this. What you do have control over is what the fuck you put on Facebook. You can control what you put on Facebook. You can't control what Facebook does with it. You can't control what the NSA does. You can control what you put on Facebook. You can control what you write in an email. You can control what you send in a text message. You can control what you say on a phone call. Oh, oversight. Oh my God, really? I'm going to read this much. Ugh. All right, we're on page 172. More and better oversight. Again, sorry. This oversight, it's a fantasy. There will be no oversight of the government. I'm going all the way to page 176. Buckle your seatbelts. First full paragraph. All right. To rein in NSA surveillance, we need much better oversight over both national intelligence and law enforcement. Oh, the fantasies. The fantasies. Ugh. Oversight. Strategic oversight comes first. The NSA has justified its actions by pointing to congressional oversight. Its leaders, Congress has no fucking clue what's going on. There is no congressional oversight. This is, to use again one of my favorite words of the day. Yes, I know I'm supposed to point my mouth at the microphone while I'm talking. You know, if I didn't have so much shit cluttering up the desk in here, I could find a fucking empty space on the desk to sit things down. That was just a little commentary. But of course, the patriarchy is cluttering up the desk because I couldn't possibly have anything to do with anything. I was saying something. Too bad I don't remember what it was. I'm sure it wasn't important. Whatever I was saying, it's whatever. Oh yeah, Congress, they'd have no clue what's going on. All right, its leaders claim that agency staff merely follow the laws that Congress passes or the orders the president signs. See, we were just doing our job. Ah yes, the old, we were just doing our job excuse. According to one official press release, quote, NSA conducts all its activities in accordance with applicable laws, regulations, and policies, unquote. This is not true. In fact, it is deeply ingenuous. Deeply disingenuous. We know from recently declassified FISA court opinions, especially those written by Judge John Bates, that the NSA frequently made misrepresentations to the court, did not follow minimization requirements, and regularly exceeded its legal authorizations.
But they're doing it to protect us. But the terrorists. But if they don't, then the terrorists are going to win. We have to give up and write me as a terrorist. But Obama's the president. If you disagree with the NSA, you hate black people. But they're doing it for our own good. Who would build the roads?
The NSA has gamed the rules governing congressional oversight to ensure that no actual understanding or critical review happens. Documents the NSA provides to Congress are either propaganda pieces designed to convince or jargon-laden documents designed to confuse. As if a member of Congress is difficult to confuse. I don't think you need jargon. I think all you need is to be sober and you can confuse them. Members of Congress can't remove these documents from the secure room they're stored in, nor can they remove any notes they make. They can only bring along security-cleared staffers to help them understand the meaning and significance of the material. But few lawmakers employ staffers with both top-secret clearance level and appropriate expertise. You know, and again, if you have to use confusing words to hide what you're doing, that's a really good indicator that... And here's another thing. So, the NSA, okay, they have these documents that supposedly explain what they're doing, yada, yada, yada. But the members of Congress can't take these documents out of that room, right? And they can't make notes, anything like that. Now, I've heard, what's that expression I've heard? What? Oh, God, I can't. Come on, Randy, help me out. What's that expression? Oh, yeah. If you have nothing to fear, you have nothing to hide. Why is the NSA hiding these documents from the public? I mean, they don't have anything to fear, right? Oh, isn't it amazing how all humans are equal, but some humans are more equal, right? As soon as you work for the NSA, suddenly you elevate above other humans. See, just the normal slaves out in society who pay taxes and go to work every day and do the breeding and pay the taxes and obey the laws. See, nothing in their life should ever be hidden or secret. Unless, of course, they're criminals. But for the NSA, once you become a member of the NSA, now the things you do can be hidden away. They can be secreted away. And nobody can know about them. Because you're better than everybody else. Oh, the sweet smell of democracy in the morning. Smells kind of like a busted sewer pipe. Oh, democracy. Oh, it's so fucking wonderful. Ah, equality. Ah, rights. Oh, it's working so fucking well. People are so stupid. You're so stupid. You're so stupid. Ooh, it's getting windier. Ooh. And that doesn't mean I farted. It's getting windier outside. The window is open. The wind's coming through. You can hear the wind chime in the distance, perhaps. Additionally, they are lobbied heavily by the NSA. Senator Ron Wyden has stated that senior intelligence officials repeatedly made, quote, misleading and deceptive statements, unquote, in congressional hearings. Senator Dianne Feinstein, chair of the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, because senators would know something about intelligence. Senate Select Committee on Intelligence and a long-standing supporter of government surveillance regretfully accepted reality. Don't you love it when people finally, well, I had to accept reality. I was living in fantasy land. Finally, I've accepted reality. Oh, fucking bravo. You have finally fucking accepted reality. Good for you. Regretfully concluded that her committee, quote, was not satisfactorily informed, unquote, by the intelligence community about its activities. Congressman Alan Grayson of Florida called congressional oversight of the NSA a, quote, joke, unquote. 2014, I was invited by six members of Congress, members from both parties, to brief them on the NSA's activities. Because I had reviewed many of the unpublished Snowden documents, I knew more about the NSA's activities than they did. How can our democracy survive when the best information Congress can get about what the NSA is really doing comes from me? Well, Bruce, first of all, there's a thing called natural selection. Natural selection says democracy should not survive. And this is why democracy should not survive. Because democracy's not working worth a shit, and because these congressmen that you're briefing are inferior pieces of garbage. They have too much power, the NSA has too much power, and all of these entities have too much power because the government has bred stupid people who want the government to have this power over them. Democracy is not the solution. Democracy is the problem. How can democracy survive when congressmen are this unaware of what's going on? Well, if we're lucky, it can't. On the other hand, many legislators don't want to perform the oversight function assigned to Congress. Some of this reluctance stems from a desire for plausible deniability. Exactly. Just like Themistatist, congressmen, politicians, They don't want to take responsibility for what happens. They want to come forth and say, oh, we're the government, we're going to solve problems, we're going to make things happen. But they don't actually want to be responsible for anything. Right? Again, the wonders of democracy. When a politician is running for election, they talk about all the wonderful things they're going to do. Yet, as soon as they get elected, we discover they're completely powerless. They can't do anything. Obama still hasn't shut down Guantanamo Bay. He can't do anything about it. He's just completely powerless. When he was running for election, he was the fucking messiah. He was going to save the world. He was going to fix the economy. Everybody was going to get free health care. He was going to end the war. He was going to make all the poor people rich. He was going to take the money away from the corporations and the rich people. He was going to close Guantanamo Bay. And boom, he gets elected. Not a fucking nothing. Zip, zilch. Oh, I can't do anything about it. The white people are keeping me down. It's politically safer to let the executive branch make the decisions and then let it take the heat when something goes wrong. There's also political risk in standing up to law enforcement. Few congressional committee members actually venture into that secure room. The NSA interprets its authority very aggressively and self-servingly. In Chapter 5, I discussed the three different authorities the NSA uses to justify its surveillance activities. Executive or... Now, this is important. Remember, it's the law. For all of you out there who think the NSA can do what the fuck it wants because it's the law. So let's talk about the law. Bruce is going to talk about the law. Because, see, unlike you, Bruce actually did this shit called research. Bruce actually fucking knows something about the NSA and the law and surveillance. He didn't just see some shit on the TV and mindlessly believe it. So maybe you should read this fucking book and get schooled a little bit. So shut the fuck up and listen. Bruce is going to teach you some things. Justified blah, blah, blah. Executive Order 12333, Section 215 of the Patriot Act, and Section 702 of the FISA Amendment Act. Executive Order 12333, the 1981 presidential document authorizing most of the NSA surveillance, is incredibly permissive. It is supposed to primarily allow the NSA to conduct surveillance outside the U.S., but it gives the agency broad authority to collect data on Americans. It provides minimal protections for Americans' data collected outside the U.S., and even less for the hundreds of millions of innocent non-Americans whose data is collected, whose data is incidentally collected. Just so you know, Bruce writes better than I read. Because this is a presidential directive and not a law, courts have no jurisdiction, and congressional oversight is minimal. Oh, democracy! Oh, the checks and balances. Because this is a presidential directive and not a law, courts have no jurisdiction. Oh, the democracy. Oh, the fucking oversight. Ah, the checks and balances established by the founding fathers. Let me read that one more time. Because this is a presidential directive and not a law, courts have no jurisdiction. Oh, the criminal justice system that protects your rights. Oh, you're so stupid. You're so fucking stupid. You're so stupid. You statists are so stupid, you should just die. And God, if we had natural selection, you'd be dead. You would be dead. It'd be such a glorious world. So fucking glorious. I have rights because the Supreme Court said so. Oh, you're so stupid. You're so stupid. Okay. Additionally, at least in 2007, the president believed he could modify or ignore it at will and in secret. As a result, we know very little about how Executive Order 12333 is being interpreted inside the NSA. But you see, it's none of your business. It's really none of your business how the NSA is interpreting Executive Order 12333. And if you think it is, that means you hate black people. You're probably racist. Section 215 of the Patriot Act was never intended to authorize mass surveillance, and strong arguments can be made that the Act's language doesn't allow it. The idea was that the FBI would be able to get information, quote, relevant to an authorized national security investigation, unquote. That is, about a specific subject of investigation from a wider set of sources than it could previously. The example the administration talked about was the information about what books a suspect checked out at the library. Maybe he was reading the Anarchist Cookbook or something. In fact, when the bill was being debated, it was known as the, quote, library provision, unquote. It only empowered the FBI to demand information that it could have obtained with a grand jury subpoena. All metadata, no content, but it allowed it to do this without having to convince a grand jury. That made sense. There aren't really grand juries in national security investigations. However, the Patriot Act was passed in the... Eyes are bugging out. However, after the Patriot Act was passed in 2001, the Department of Justice's national security lawyers combed through the law looking for loopholes. Whoa, hold on. I need coffee. Lawyers looking for loopholes? No fucking way. See, if we just had more laws... If only the Patriot Act had more pages to it, if we just pass more laws, we can solve the problem. Remember, the more laws, the more loopholes. Anytime you see these laws, you know, like the Affordable Health Care Act, which made health care affordable, which is why you need to shut up about why you can't afford health care. It's how many pages? How many fucking loopholes can possibly be in there, right? If you want to have a law that says everybody has to buy health care, just pass a law that says everybody has to buy health care. Or health care. Whew. Health insurance. Law. Here it is. It's written on a piece of paper. All citizens of the United States, 18 years old or older, must be covered by health insurance. Done. Everything beyond that is an exemption for your friends. It's a handout to the corporations. It's something that lawyers can use as a loophole. Everything beyond that, that's all you have to do. If that's what you're trying to do, which is what Messiah Care did, it forced everybody to buy health insurance from corporations. One fucking sentence is all you need. Everything beyond that is just bullshit. Right here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, well, in the state of Colorado, marijuana is legal, right? Okay, so then marijuana is legal. But there's pages and pages and pages and pages of laws about how much marijuana you can have and how much you can grow and how much you can transport and where you can have. Well, so it's all, right? All of that is just there to make special privileges for special people, to create loopholes, to continue generating revenue for the police and the justice industrial complex. Any law that is long, like three sentences, any law in existence that's longer than three sentences is just bullshit. And we're coming up on the end of the show. Randy, let me think here. What time is it? All right, let me read. Let me get back to reading. Stop tangenting. However, after the Patriot Act was passed in 2001, the Department of Justice National Security lawyers combed through the law looking for loopholes. Even though the law was intended to facilitate target surveillance, they decided it could be stretched to authorize mass surveillance. Even though it only empowered the FBI, they decided the FBI could demand the information be sent to the NSA. At first, they did this without any court approval at all. Eventually, they decided to argue their case in front of the secret FISA court. Because there was no one arguing the opposing position, they were able to convince a judge that everything was relevant to an investigation. This was a new interpretation of the word relevant, one that doesn't even pass the sniff test. If relevant doesn't restrict collection because everything is relevant, then why was the limitation put into the law in the first place? Bruce, you're using logic. You realize that you must obviously hate women and black people because you just used logic, and logic is a tool of the patriarchy designed to oppress women. Even Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, the person who wrote the USA Patriot Act, was surprised when he learned that the NSA used it as a legal justification for collecting mass surveillance data on Americans. Quote, "It's like scooping up the entire ocean to guarantee you catch a fish," unquote, he said. Yeah, see, everything is, you can only collect relevant data, but all data is relevant. This is why laws don't work. I do understand why you people can't understand this. It's because you're stupid. It's like global warming. No matter what the weather does, it's because of global warming. Well, we can only get relevant data, but all data is relevant. Everything is racist. Everything is sexist. Everything is homophobic. Everything is global warming. Everything is relevant. Ah, democracy. So wonderful! The checks and the balances. Oh, I don't bother with the other side. Oh, yes. All right, we'll continue where we left off next time.